What David is saying here is, God, you're more than just a loving God, but you're also a truthful God.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled, The Exalted Word, by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible, from the way we worship, to the way we serve, to the way we love one another. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
This morning, we're going to learn that in our lives as well, when we go through difficult times, there is the nature of God that we need to understand, instructions of God, how He wants us to live, what He expects us as we're going through that difficult time. There's a difference between those two things, even though they're inextricably linked. God's instructions come from God's nature. But I want you to hear me very carefully this morning. God always exalts His instructions over His nature. Don't misunderstand that. They're both important. When it comes to us, He says, don't worry about my nature, it stands. Obey me. Obey me. Don't compromise my word. Don't twist my word. Don't try to justify your sin by reinterpreting my word. Do what I'm telling you to do. Nature instructions, but instructions are far more important. And we're going to see how that really works for us. You have your Bibles with you. Psalm 138, starting in verse 1. A psalm of David, where David says, I will praise you with my whole heart. David is going through some difficult times. We're going to see that in a few moments. He says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. You see, there is a nature, and then there is truth. David says, I'm going to praise you for both those things. But then I want you to read with me the next line. For you have magnified your word above all your name. God's name is His nature. God's name is His character. But what God says here in this word through David is that I have magnified my word, my truth, my instructions to you, even above my character, my nature. You know what people do when they're going through difficult times? They reinterpret the Bible. They come up with their own interpretation to soothe their sin, their experiences. I'm going to make a statement to you, and I want you to hear me very carefully, and I hope you really get it. The statement is this. When you are going through a difficult time, don't just look for God's faithfulness and God's loving kindness and God's goodness. Look for the truth of God from the Word of God. And here's the next line, which is very important. Always let the Word of God win. Always let the truth stand. As Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. Are you saved this morning? Do you know the truth of God? Do you know Jesus Christ? If not, today, receive Him. When we began planning for the first few weekends in the new building, we prayerfully decided that one of the first messages should be on the Bible, on the Word of God. We want Clearview to be successful. We want Clearview to grow. We want Clearview to touch many, many lives, not just in this community, but even beyond. But we want the ministry of this church to be solidly based on the book, on the Word of God. So we chose Psalm 138. Powerful psalm, kind of at times very hard to understand. But the statement I want us to focus on again is where it says God has magnified His word above His name, His character. Now, it sounds odd when you first read it. What scholars have done is when they come to this passage, they say things like, well, you know, there must have been some kind of grammatical error when the scribes were copying the text. And so they suggest alterations in the text to make it sound more palatable. So they try to reinterpret that passage to make it kind of soothe our understanding. But when you go back to the text, it is exactly what it says. God, your word, you have magnified even above your name. There is no way other than read it for what it is. And I have read scores of articles. I have turned over dictionaries and everything I could to figure out what exactly is happening in this passage. And what I want to challenge you this morning is let the word of God stand true. To begin with, this is a Psalm of David. Now, we know David was a shepherd boy who killed Goliath with that slingshot. We know David was the king of Israel. We know David was a powerful, powerful man. But we also know that David was a great songwriter. In fact, 76 out of 150 psalms in the book of Psalms are written by David. But he was more than just a songwriter. In fact, I want you to hear what the Word of God says about David as he is writing his final song. It's going to be on the screen. I want you to follow with me, 2 Samuel 23, verse 1. God says that these are the last words of David. And I want you to see the titles that God's Word gives to David. Thus says David, the son of Jesse. Means it acknowledges his humble beginnings. Thus says the man raised up on high. I know it's referring to the fact how David was raised up to be the king of Israel, but I also believe it's talking about raised up on high, as in brought closer to the heart and the mind of God. But it's not done. The anointed of the God of Jacob means he's the chosen one of God, but he's not done. And the sweet psalmist of Israel. The sweet psalmist, meaning the chosen, the loved songwriter who understood the heart and the mind of God. That's what God's word says about David. And something else, you know, David in 1 Samuel 13, 14 is called a man after God's own heart. The point is this, David, more than anybody else in the Old Testament, truly understood the mind, the heart of God. So what we're reading in this psalm, don't just read it and go, well, you know, maybe, who knows what he said. No, he understood the mind and the heart of God. So when we read this song, take those words very seriously. He's not just writing and saying, okay, so let's see. What rhymes with rose? You know, that's not how he's doing it. He's taking us to the inner sanctum of God. He's giving us the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Now, before we begin looking at those words, I don't want you to miss the context of this passage. Listen to Psalm 138, verse 3. It says, in the day when I cried out, you answered me. David wrote this psalm to remember or to commemorate that day when David was going through trouble. Now, we don't know what trouble he was going through. Maybe it was when Saul was chasing him through the wilderness of Ziph. Maybe it was when Absalom, his son, revolted against David. Maybe it was further back when David and his men were away fighting and the Amalekites came and captured all their wives and their children and took them away captives, and David and the men cried out to God. We don't know exactly what was the trouble, the day of trouble for David, but this psalm, Psalm 138, is written to talk about God's faithfulness and truth in that day of trouble. Listen to verse 1 now. He says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Meaning, everything within me, God, I have a desire to give thanks to you, to praise you for what you have done for me. Let me ask you very quickly, do you ever thank God for what he's done for you? Do you ever praise him for how good he's been to you? I know certain people, folks, every time you talk to them, it's always something bad that is happening to them. It's always something that is not working out. It's always something going downhill. Do you ever say, God, in spite of my circumstances, you are great and greatly to be praised? Do you ever say that? You should. Praise God and do it with intensity. Do it with passion from all his heart. He says, I will praise you. And then he says, before the gods, I will sing praises to you. Before the gods. When he says that, he's not saying there are other gods. There are no other gods. There's only one living true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God who sent his son into this world to die for us. There's only one God. So when David says before the gods, what he's saying is before all the pagan nations who worship false and dead gods, God, I will boldly declare that you are awesome. You are wonderful. Question for you this morning. Do you ever thank God and praise him before others? Do you ever thank God and praise him before the watching world and say, God, you are great and greatly to be praised? Many of us, when we go to a restaurant and come to pray, we kind of just quickly go, thank you, Lord, for the meal. We don't want anybody to see us, you know. That's not right. Be bold to thank God for your meal. Be bold. It doesn't matter who's there. It doesn't matter who's not there. Praise God and thank him for what he's done for you. Now listen to verse 2. He says, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Now this is where it begins. David takes us deeper into the knowledge of God. He says, I will praise your name for your loving kindness. You know, when the psalm writers and even David mention the name of God, they're not talking about a title for God. They're not saying, God, you're Elohim, you're Adonai, you're Jehovah this, Jehovah that. That's not what David is saying over here. When he says, I will praise your name for your loving kindness, he's talking about, God, I will praise your nature. I will praise your character. I will praise you for who you are. And who are you, God? You are a God full of loving kindness. The word is chesed. Translators cannot find a single word to translate chesed in English. So they use all kinds of words. They'll use words like goodness, kindness, mercy, love, steadfast love, unfailing love, loving kindness. In fact, every one of God's names reflects his loving kindness towards us. What is David saying here when he says, God, I will praise your name for your loving kindness? He is saying, God, I will praise you because you are so faithful to me. He's praising God's nature. I'll ask you again the same question. Do you ever give thanks to God for his name, for his faithfulness, for his loving kindness, for his nature? But now David does something that baffles us. He says, I will praise your name for your loving kindness. And then he adds something to it. He says, and your truth. The word is emeth, which has the idea of something that is much more than God is faithful to me. What David is saying here is, God, you're more than just a loving God. But you're also a truthful God. Let that sink in for a moment. Inherent in God's nature and name is not only his kindness and his love to us, but it's also his truth for us, his instructions for us. When you're going through a tough time, don't just look for God's loving kindness. Also look for the truth that God is trying to teach you. The purpose of your suffering is not just to feel the warm fuzzies. The purpose is to know, what is it that God wants me to understand about him? What is his word telling me to do? Where do I need to obey him? That's why many people go through tough times and they come out the same as they were before they went through the tough time. There's nothing new. There is no growth There is no understanding. What I like to hear from people is, man, I went through this tough time and boy, I got into the Word of God. I am seeing places where I am not doing what God has called me to do. I'm seeing places where I've been cheating God and I've been holding out on Him. And through this suffering, I am seeing the truth of God as well. For it's not just enough to say loving kindness. The next question is, do you also see the truth of God? Now here's something powerful. David says, "For you have magnified your word above all your name." What does the word "word" really mean? I did some research on it. Do you know that word "word"? You have magnified your word. It means you have magnified, listen, your commands and your promises. What David is saying is, God, I'm so grateful for your name, which represents your loving kindness, but also, God, you're teaching me truth. You're showing me your commands and your promises. In fact, God, you're elevating, you're emphasizing, you're exalting your commands and your promises to me, God. Because God is a truthful God. He will not just sit back and love you and do the best He can to help you. He also wants to speak to you. He has something for you to do and to obey. You know what people mostly do through difficult times? They reinterpret the truth. They recast the truth. They recast morality. Recently, Paul showed me something that was very disturbing. She said, look at this, a picture of a girl proposing to a girl. And I said, who's that? She said, you know, read the name. I read the name, I said, I honestly don't. She said, that's so-and-so. That's so-and-so's daughter. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's so sad. That's very tragic. And I know that they must be going through a difficult time. She said, not really. Now in a series of posts, Mama has decided to justify homosexuality. So the word where the Bible says, now abide faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is, she has decided to tell us how love is supreme and that as long as people love each other, it doesn't really matter what God's word has to say because that overrides how God has made us male and female. Now, folks, if it doesn't disturb you, it should disturb you. You know what this person has done? Going through a difficult time because she began her post by saying, as you know, I have been going through some tough times lately and it's been rough and it's been hard and I have had to do a lot of examination and checking my heart and my soul as to what is God teaching me. And I've come to the conclusion, I was hoping to her to say that, you know, if this happens, I'm still going to pray for my daughter and I'm going to pray that God will be faithful as I train up the child in the way they should go, that they will come back and I'm trusting in God. No, she said, I have understood love in a whole new way. You know what this person has done? Because of their experiences, their circumstances, they have decided to make their own truth. What is David saying here? Please don't miss this. What he's saying is, God, as I was going through a difficult time, I felt your loving kindness, but even more, God, I saw your truth because you have magnified your truth even over your loving kindness because you want me to know the truth and hang on to the truth and obey your truth. Sometimes when people go through difficult times, whether it's physical problems, financial problems, relational problems, they let their senses, are y'all with me? Their senses, how they feel, decide the truth. Oh, I felt this. I felt that. I felt the presence of God. And so now I believe this must be right. Folks, it's not right. If the Word of God says something different, you have to now, listen, you have to filter your experiences through the truth of God. And the truth of God, filter it through this book. And if it doesn't line up, if it doesn't work out, guess what? Trash your experience. My senses can be deceptive. My senses, sense of touch, feel, smell, all of those senses can deceive me. My emotions can deceive me. My feelings are the shallowest part of my being. As Adrian Rogers would say, And God does not do his deepest work in the shallowest part. My feelings, no. Truth should always trump my feelings. Filter it through the Word of God. You know, David, something powerful about David. I didn't read this passage earlier, but if you see what God's Word said about David in 2 Samuel 23 in verse 2, I want you to see what it says up here on the screen. The Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and His word was on my tongue. This is how David begins his last song. The Spirit of the Lord was on me, and His word was on my tongue. So when we read Psalm 138, remember, you're reading the Word of God. God is the one speaking through David and saying, my word I have exalted even over my nature. Focus on the truth. Obey the truth. Now what happens here? Time is running away. Listen to verse 3. In this day, David says, when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. You truly obey the word of God as you're facing difficult times. Listen very carefully. There's a sense of boldness that comes inside of you. There are two kinds of boldness in the world. One is the kind that ignores the word of God and says, man, I felt this. And man, I feel it. That's a false boldness. Then there is a boldness that comes from standing firm on the Word of God. The boldness you want is this one. There's a boldness over here where 50 people gather and tell you, you're right, what you felt is great, that's the way it should be. That is a false boldness. There's a boldness that is over here. You might be the only one believing that, but if it's coming from the Word of God, that is the true boldness. David says, in that day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. The word of God puts cement and concrete inside your soul and you're able to stand. But something else happens when you stand on the word of God in the midst of difficult times. You obey the truth of God no matter what is happening, no matter what your senses are saying, no matter what your friends are saying. What happens? Their testimony begins to grow. Verse 4, all the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear. What do they hear? Not the loving kindness of God. When they hear the words of your... The focus is still on the Word of God, the truth of God. Folks, are y'all getting what I'm saying to you? Do you understand what I'm trying to communicate to you? I'm trying to tell you that this book is supreme. Not your ideas, not your opinions, not the best Christian bookseller out there, not your favorite preachers. Unless they're coming from the Word of God, do not believe. Reject it. But what if I felt it? Reject it if it's not lining up with this book. Satan is a master deceiver. He said that to Eve in the Garden of Eden. What did he do? Has God indeed said? He made her question the word of God. And ever since he's been doing that. You don't have to obey his word. Verse 5. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord. Again, it's about the truth of God. It's about the word of God. For great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord is on high, yet he regards the lowly. I don't have time to go into depth. But the proud he knows from afar. You know who the proud is? The person who thinks he knows the truth. You know who the lowly is? The one who says, I stick with this book. And what does God say? I know who is the proud. And guess what, buddy? I am going to reject you, but I'm going to accept the lowly who believes my truth. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. How does God revive us, folks? Revive me according to your word. According to your truth. Truth brings revival. It's not done. We love music here. We love contemporary music. But listen, John and the rest of the team will tell you, it's not the music that's going to revive you. I love light. I love technology. But it's not the technology and the lights that will revive you. I love doing various ministry, but that's not what's going to revive you. Preaching, that's not going to revive you unless I'm preaching the Word of God. That will revive you. Unless the worship is on the Word of God. Unless the programs and everything we do is to magnify the Word of God. Then revival comes. You cannot have revival based on experiences and senses. It only comes when truth is proclaimed. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. He comes back to God's mercy. Do not forsake the works of your hands. I want you to listen to me again very carefully. God's name is God's character. His character is one of loving kindness. He will take care of us as we go through difficult times. But His character is also one of truthfulness. And He expects His truth to be obeyed. The Bible is the truth of God. And He expects us to obey the Word of God, no matter what's happening, no matter what your senses are telling you, obey this book. And obedience to His Word helps us understand who God really is. You see how it goes in a circle? So in closing, let me ask you, if David says, God, You have exalted, magnified Your Word above all Your name, then the question for us this morning is, how important is this book for you? I don't care what's the latest, greatest bestseller from wherever. I don't care if it's your favorite preacher who wrote that book. I don't care if it's your best friends who are peddling a theology. How important is this book to you? Because the ministry of Clearview is going to be solidly based on this Word of God as God helps us. That's it. How important is this Word to you? Number two, is it the final authority on all your understanding about God? And here's another question. Do you use the Word of God to justify your morals and your experiences? Did you know there's something to be said about this? I need to emphasize this. You can pretty much justify anything you want to from the Bible. You do know that, right? You can justify whatever. It's just not going to be the truth. You can string together 15 verses and make up theology, but it's not going to be the Word of God if you're taking it out of context, if you're misinterpreting it. You might be sincere, but you may be sincerely wrong. And do you obey His Word no matter the cost? The cost may be friendship. The cost may be losing a job. The cost may be having to humble yourself in spite of your experiences. And the most important question is, do you know the Word of God, Jesus Christ? I want to put up here a verse for you. You know this one. John chapter 1 verse 14. Listen to what it says. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Here we have it. Full of, say it with me, grace and truth.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. God has exalted His Word above all else. It should be the foundation for our lives and for our faith. When you're faced with a difficult situation, figure out what the Word of God is telling you to do, and then always let the Word of God win. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.